So I'm going to go ahead and do an official introduction here. I have to turn on like performer me. I've got several go-go's apparently. All right.
Definitely. Yeah. You have to with something like this, you know, you have to have that presenter persona.
Yes. And it's weird because I turn it on and then like my consciousness disappears and I turn into another person. It's like, I'm not really controlling that person. Like it's autopilot in a weird way. It's like,
hey,
it's weird.
You're talking to an old theater kid. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, so you were into theater in high school?
Yeah, I did, you know, theater for like high school, a couple local churches, stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, nice. All right. Well, let me introduce you so we can talk about that. All right, so I'm here with Jalvin, and real quick, let's talk about your username. So I know you've told us this story, but why don't you share with the rest of the group where Jalvin came from? Oh no, he got booted again. Poopy, what the fuck?
I got rebooted, but I have the link pulled up still, so I'm just like jumping back.
Weird, yeah. Well, it's funny, I'm like, oh man, I offended him already. Like, I asked the question, and there was just dead air, and I'm like, oh my god, he's mad already.
Don't ask me about my username.
It seems like it's doing it every 4 minutes.
Well, it's 8:15 p.m. my time, so you've got 2 minutes. Let's go.
All right, anyway, so I asked you about where your username came from, and I can just cut all that crap out.
That's fair. Okay, so yeah, it's the weirdest thing. So back in my early teenage years, or
ooh,
even
the theater kid guy.
No, this is even before any. Well, I guess you could say it's part of that.
Okay,
because it was related to Dungeons and Dragons, which is effectively sort of like theater for, you know, small groups of people.
yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I, as a kid, had a subscription to this Dungeons and Dragons magazine. I think my dad initially got it and then realized, hey, Dungeons and Dragons has changed since like the 1980s. So he just gave it to me. Mm-hmm. But this magazine would give all these like characters and worlds and things that you could work into your own game at home. And I found this one character that I thought was particularly interesting and just like this one off issue. And his name was Jalvin.
Oh.
So I kind of took the name and used it, you know, as like an early teenager, you know, as we all do. We all have those like crappy early emails that eventually you become ashamed of and that sort of
yeah.
stuff.
Well, the thing was, I never stopped using mine. I still have it.
I mean, but the thing is, you know, it works. Like Gogo McSprinkles is one that works because you can sort of build like a persona off of. Jalvin was just a random nonsense word that I stole from some magazine that for some reason nobody else knew about or had or anything. So I could use this word and never really encountered that spot where somebody was like, that's so lame. You should probably change that or build that shame. So it just became like, okay, well, it's just this series of letters that I stole from a D&D magazine a long time ago.
That's so funny. Oh my god, I love it. Alrighty, so you painted a little picture of what young Jalvin was like. What are your hobbies that you're into now?
The best way I've heard to describe it is generic nerd crap. I play a lot of video games. I have a pretty decent comic collection. I have this thing where I'll go play Dungeons and Dragons every couple weeks that could kind of be considered a hobby. Dabble in some tech stuff, nothing crazy, but yeah, just like generic nerd crap.
That sums it up pretty nicely. I think the technical term is pop culture. Am I using that right? Maybe not.
You could say, I guess, yeah, I guess you could lean it into pop culture. I think a lot of pop culture is more like current, like trends and things like that. And some of this stuff is like old comics and, you know.
But some of that stuff is part of pop culture. That's what I interpret it as. Like there is more to pop culture than just nerd stuff, but the nerd stuff is all part of the pop culture. I think it's, I think it's cool to be nerdy now. Like, oh, I've got comic books. Let's see them. You know, like, it's cool.
It has definitely been sort of a change over the years, because I definitely remember back in high school, like, if I brought up anything like that, like, prior to Lord of the Rings, if you mentioned an elf, you better be talking about Santa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was into X-Men when I was, like, going through puberty.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everybody thought I was really weird because I would cut out comic books and like tape the pictures up on my wall, and they were like half naked women in like weird outfits. And I'm like, looking back, yeah, I could see how it could have been weird back then. But nowadays, I don't think it would have been quite so weird. I was just ahead of my time. We were ahead of our time.
Well, now it's weird because you've damaged artifacts if you do that.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's weird for a whole other reason.
I know. Like, thinking back, I'm like, oh my God, I wonder how many comics I ripped up and cut out pictures of. Like, yeah.
That's the first appearance of so-and-so. That's probably worth like $500 now.
Yeah. I probably could have been a millionaire if I hadn't cut those things up.
Yup.
Alrighty. So let's talk a little bit about when you first heard Keller. Do you remember what your first experience with his music was?
So I remember the first time I ever heard Keller Williams. This was back around 2003, 4, 2, maybe somewhere around in that era. It was a time me and a lot of my friends, you know, a couple of us had CD burners, and it was like the height of like Kazaa and LimeWire and things like that. So We would just constantly download whatever nonsense we could find online and make each other mix CDs and just kind of pass them around, because, you know, the radio stations around here, they play very, very specific music, and they really don't branch out into things like Keller or anything else, really. So there was one night, me and a friend of mine were just joyriding around. I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and he plays this CD that a friend's given. And I don't remember much of what was on that CD. I think there was maybe Pepper by the Butthole Surfers.
Nice.
Ether Sunday by Trey Anastasio.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe something by Sublime. But one of the tracks that stood out to me on this album was Freaker by the Speaker.
And right into a backspin. Freaker, right by the speaker, never seemed to get enough. Priceless expression when space is possession. Like, yeah, that's the stuff. Electronic stereo fun, it's good in the day, I like it that way, but it's perfectly normal at night.
Oh, nice.
Had never heard it before, no context or anything. We're just driving down the road. I remember it was like late evening, warm outside, air conditioner on, just. And so I turned to my friend, and I'm like, this song sounds really interesting. What's going on with it? The whole CD was really pretty good. So he just stops, pulls the CD out, hands it to me, and says, friend of mine made it for me. I feel like it was more your speed. And
oh my God.
Yeah, he passes me this blank CD, and scrawled on it in Sharpie or whatever is songs that maybe you'll like, maybe you won't, but they put a smile on my face, razzle dazzle biatch, and then a little smiley face.
And, oh my God.
Yeah, so this CD, still don't know who made it, where it came from. It just wandered through a circle of friends to me, and I had it. And I sort of ran that, at the very least, couple of songs into the ground. Like, I loved it.
Wow. That is amazing. I super duper love that story. Oh my God. The Razzle Dazzle Biatch. Oh my God.
Right.
That needs to be on a t-shirt. Maybe then you'll find out who it was that made that CD. It'll come full circle.
With that terrible smiley face.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was a terrible smiley face.
Oh my God, that makes it even better. So whatever happened to that CD?
You know, kind of as the rise of like MP3s and things like that, probably around the time, well, it kind of left me with the rest of my CDs. I'm sure I have this massive CD collection somewhere in some house that I don't go to. And It must still be there because I never gave it to anybody. I never like got rid of it. It just vanished with the rest of my CDs.
It's waiting for you to find it someday. And you, if you do find it, you need to take a picture of it because it'll be like the new mascot or something.
Oh, definitely.
That's awesome. Alrighty, so around that time in your life, were you going to see any live music concerts?
Well, the thing was, we lived in kind of a small town, so there wasn't any live music. Mm-hmm. The closest you get is driving about an hour away to the city where there was a stadium where every now and then, you know, somebody'd roll through town. But yeah, there wasn't really a lot of, as a matter of fact, I didn't really frequent live music until I moved into the city I live in like 2015, 2016, somewhere around in there. And then I realized how many awesome little venues there are throughout the city. And it became sort of a hobby. It's like, nope, I'm going to see, I don't even know who this is, but I like the venue. I'm going to see them play.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds like a really fun hobby. Get to hear all kinds of music, like not even knowing what you're going into, just like, yeah, let's try this out.
That's 90% of the live shows I go see is just, hey, some dude probably it lives like a mile from me that just has a turntable. Oh, he's a DJ in tonight, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really cool. I know there's a couple local people I'll follow around, like mostly in the summertime when they play outdoors. And it's fun to be kind of a local groupie, but it's not the same rush as following Keller around.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Well, before we dive into that, I want to talk a little bit about the cellar. So did your life change much when COVID hit?
Well, I was employed at a hospital at the time, so there's that factor.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So I, plus again, there was the whole live music thing that I was just like every weekend I wanted to be out at some show or something like that. And suddenly that didn't happen. There were a lot of tickets refunded, like a lot of short term tickets refunded.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
But yeah, I think so. It was actually, Keller was actually going to come to my town, April or so after COVID hit. I was actually really excited because it was, oh my God, is this guy that I've only heard a couple of songs off of his stuff, but it was really awesome. So I wanted to go see this guy just come play at some local brewery or something like that. And then it didn't happen. Yeah, but then weirdly, I got through the same app I use on my phone to track all these live shows. You know, I got, well, hey, this guy who was coming to your town is going to be live streaming this night. And that was my first night that I was actually in a cellar
show. Aww, I love it. Oh my God. Do you remember like time frame wise or like what number it was that you rolled in on?
I figured it out one night and have forgotten. Yeah, I do have been in like late April, maybe.
Okay. If you figured it out once, maybe we'll figure it out again someday.
Oh, for sure. I remember it was a show that took place entirely in the Purple Room, started with I Am Elvis, and the encore was Making It Rain.
Oh, we could figure that out from that information.
Yeah, exactly. There are set lists around. We can figure it out. But that was my first show, whatever that was.
Making It Rain. You said that was the encore.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to casually look this up while we chat.
Ooh, let me know because I'm curious about the actual date on that.
Maybe it was 5-6. Yeah.
I can believe that.
It started with I Am Elvis and ended with Making It Rain. Yep.
Rain Mackey was African, a man with egg shaped head. True story by Tanya Lazembe Jackson, by the way. She said, he said, I can provide. That's what she said. He said, I can provide. She said, here's my cell number, my paging number, my office number, my home number. And she said, are you going to give me your mama's number down in Uganda? He said, do you require that? And she said, fuck yeah. I'm going to call your mama down in Uganda.
So 5-6. Yeah. Because I knew you were in the book. So you had to have been in there by the end of May because that was when we finalized it. So yeah, you dove right in. Holy crap.
Pretty much. I play a lot of like online video games and things like that. So wandering into a group of strangers online and just being like, hey, I'm here now. What's up? That's not an abnormal thing for me. So
yeah, that's valid. Yeah. I know you have other Discord servers beside the crawl space. And I thought, You know your way around Discord and online chats, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So up until you started watching The Cellar, were you listening to much of Keller's music in the meantime? Like, did you buy any of his albums, or was it just that one CD you had?
So there was that one CD, and then I didn't really, I guess I didn't go download anything after because I had that one job done. Well, then when I was in college in 2008 or so, there was this. There was this head shop in town. It was like half and half a head shop and a CD store.
Okay.
And, you know, I've told you I had a whole bunch of CDs. Like I had this small CD collection. One of my things I would do was just find a CD store and just rummage through just anything I could find that looked halfway interesting. And I found a copy of 12.
Oh, and you recognize it. You're like, that's that guy.
Yeah, it's that guy, and looked through the track list and saw Freaker by the Speaker, and it's like, well, this is a good opportunity to learn about some more stuff.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know, you see that in movies and stuff where people are just going through album after album after album, and I'm like, that's not how I shop for music. Like, I like the same thing over and over again, so I want all the Keller music. I will buy anything Keller and just listen to Keller. I will buy like a specific artist and just buy everything. And there's like, I never just go browse. I think I'm a little bit of a music snob or something.
Oh, I love finding new stuff though. That's the best part of like going. I love that record stores are making such a big comeback now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you just go and just kind of flip through and check the art, see if there's songs, see, you know, who's put it out, if they're featuring anybody. Just find something new.
Mm-hmm. Was the appeal something new that nobody else knew about? Like, was it like the no names that were just kind of discarded by everybody else? Or was it new stuff that someone popular, it wasn't popular, you know? Does that make sense? Like the unpopular albums of popular people.
Most of the stuff I would wind up picking up would be like I would find out about some soundtrack to some movie or some video game or something like that had some person on it that I or some band or something that I didn't really know, but I could go and pursue their stuff and then wind up with an album. And then, you know, once I had that album, then that, you know, maybe they'll have some guest on there, or maybe I'll find, well, a record store employee will say, well, if you like that, you should try this too, and just kind of follow a thread.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It's like, it's almost like studying music in a way. Like it's like a project you want to learn more about, and you're diving deeper and deeper into it. That's fascinating. Yeah. I love it. I guess I kind of did the same with like LimeWire. I would like find an artist I like Keller, and I'd be like, I want to find every obscure song that exists on LimeWire that I could possibly download. Like sometimes it would take days. It'd be like, there'd only be one version of something. And I'd be like, I have to have that one thing. You know, like everybody had Freaker by the Speaker, but like one person had It's a Plant from like 2002. And I'm like, I got to download that one. Like I like finding the hidden gems, but I feel like the CD store leaves it to chance. Like what if it isn't in there? I feel like I might miss out on something if I don't go through every one. Whereas I can see a list and just scroll through the list, I guess. Huh, that was a random tangent. Sorry about that. But anyway, so you get into The Cellar and you got very comfortable right away. So after The Cellar started, is that when you started listening to Keller's music more? Like you'd bought that, I don't know, did you buy the 12 album? I guess I jumped ahead.
I did. I bought that particular album, and this would be back around the time when MP3 players were first like really kicking off. So I had a little micro Zoom, and
me too.
Yeah. I love their software for just ripping CDs and putting them straight on the MP3 player. It had the best software for that. But so I loaded up 12 on that. That would be my thing, is I'd anywhere I went, it would be, of course, 12 and a couple other albums. But that was kind of, for a little while, that was the only exposure I had, was that one CD that a friend gave me with Freaker on it. And then suddenly now this new that had.
Yeah.
And then I sort of like didn't get any more. I just never stumbled across any more Keller Williams albums after that. And it wasn't until the rise of like streaming music, particularly Spotify,
that
suddenly is like the whole library is open. I can just listen to whatever, whenever.
Yeah, we're a little spoiled now. Like you don't even have to go download your music. You just pull up an app and it just starts scrolling through everything. It's pretty nice.
I feel like it kills a little bit of that adventure of like going to the CD store and just rummaging around, and maybe you'll find a gem, maybe you won't, because now it's just everything's right in front of you. It's just like, you don't like this song? Yep. Skip it immediately.
Yep. Well, I started buying albums of Keller's, like physical albums, because I always thought, well, I don't want to add to the waste of the world by buying something I don't need, so I just do the digital. But now it's like I've started buying them because I like going through the booklet, you know, like I like reading the little notes that they leave in there, and like Keller's are kind of silly if you read through them, and it's like I don't need these, I, you know, just to read through that little booklet. But there's a special connection now with those albums that I do have. It's weird.
Not to mention, it's just like a cool thing to collect, you know? It's like, well, now, oh, now a new one's out. Now I've picked it up and everything. Now I've got them all. Ha ha ha, you know?
Yeah. And you can line them up and you can physically see them all and think about all of them. Like, you know, if you have it on your phone, yeah, you can pull up your playlist and start scrolling through. But it's like, if you have all the CDs stacked in there in a little line, and it's like, you get to like acknowledge and think about each of them, not necessarily play them, which seems so wasteful to me, but I like having them in my life.
Oh, apparently they make these frames that you can actually frame like vinyl records and take them out of the frame on the wall and listen to them.
What?
They're like, yeah, I need to get my hands on some. They're like $30 a pop. I mean, I don't know.
That's,
but they're amazing for like a practical decoration.
Mm-hmm. Well, I purchased that album that he released from Relics just a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I purchased that and the poster. I'm like, I don't need either of these. I don't have a record player, but like, I don't want to miss the opportunity to collect something of Keller's. So I'm going to have a record and have nothing to do with it. But maybe framing it would be cool. I'll have to look into that.
I don't know how it is, but there are so many people I know of that get like several records before they ever get a record player.
Okay. So I'm not abnormal. I asked it in the crawl space. I was like, is it weird that I'm going to buy a vinyl without a record player? And somebody else, I don't know if it was Locke or somebody, said that they do that. And it's like, okay. So it's not completely off the charts loony. It feels weird, but I'm like, well, right. I know what's going to happen is one of these days I'm going to find a corner of my house to put a record player in, and I'll listen to that one album and then I'll get another one and I'll start collecting those. It's like, I know it's coming. I'm
next
just
thing you know,
back.
You'll have a pile.
Exactly. I'm going to sit back and relax and enjoy the ride.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I went off another tangent. I'm all over the place today. All right. You were worried about not having anything to talk about, and I just can't shut up. So, let's talk about your favorite seller moment. Do you have a specific one that you can think of?
So two possible answers. One was actually like a night on Stage It. Mm-hmm. And the other was sort of an event that came about from the crawl space.
Okay.
The one from Stage It was, there was one night, you know, Keller, before shows, you know, he would post, you know, I need requests. Hey, what do people want to hear tonight? And so I would, every like after the first time he played Mr. Bitterness, you know, cover of the Soul Coughing song, he put this weird spin on it that made the song sound almost haunted in this beautiful way.
Ooh.
Like his version of it just has some flavor to it that the original just doesn't have. It's so weird.
Ooh. But give me goosebumps.
Right. That's what listening to the song does to me.
Wow. And
he doesn't really have it recorded anywhere to my knowledge, so that's, you know, it's understandable. Mm-hmm. Because it's like a licensed song, that'd be a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I would request the song any chance I could, any opportunity to hear it. I wanted to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept requesting it on Facebook for a while, and he kept not playing it. Well, one night we're watching a show, and suddenly I hear like those first couple bass notes. I'm like, oh yeah, it's gonna be Mr. Bitterness. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly out of nowhere, not a screen name, because the request was over Facebook, I get a first name, last name. I'm sorry I've been ignoring this request.
Oh my God, he said your real name. Oh, that's funny.
I'm like,
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. It
was surreal enough the first time, through shout outs, mm-hmm. this person who was built up in my mind as a celebrity says mm-hmm. this random, word that I found from a D&D magazine ages ago.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. But then when he said, just first name, last name, sorry, I've missed the request a couple of times. I'm like, it's okay.
Wow. Do you mind if I find the clip and put the actual first name, last name in there?
Not at all. Have okay. at it.
Okay. I didn't want to do that if you weren't comfortable with that, but because I could that clip your fine. Name out and just put the rest of it in.
Everybody watched the episode, so they know.
We know who you are.
It's already happened.
All right. Awesome. So I will look for that and add it in.
Wes Patton keeps requesting this, and I mean to play it every week, but then something happens, man, and it doesn't happen. I dig this one, this is by Soul Coughing Off the Record, Ruby Vroom, Ruby Vroom.
Okay, so that was your favorite stage it moment. What was the next moment then?
Well, it was not my first post-COVID live show, but one mm-hmm. of the bigger ones was Keller actually came nearby to this venue. And, through the Discord, several of us arranged, we do that from time to time. We'll arrange, there's a show that's going to be in this area. Who all lives in the area? Who can come by? All this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my first one was this event at the Caverns. And it was, fairly close by, and several other people were going, and like, okay, sure. I didn't think anything of it. It was just going to be a live show where I was going to go see Keller Williams and Hayes, some people that, I met online. It didn't really hit me until I'm there. I'm front row, I'm in the center on the rail, surrounded by these people I've only known online for the past year or so that mm-hmm. no one else does. As far as I was knew or was concerned, these were imaginary friends to me. But they were really there surrounding me.
They were there.
And this dude that I listened to as a teenager occasionally and, suddenly started playing Apparition.
Oh my God.
And I had a brief moment. It was so surreal. I had a brief moment. It's like, am I asleep? This is a dream.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's like, this is not reality right now. I'm imagining this. Uh-huh.
This is a combination of things that don't exist in reality. They exist on my phone and on my computer. What's going on?
In your brain. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was crazy because in addition to all that, the venue was, in like the cavern.
A fucking cave.
It was a hole in the ground. It was nature's cellar.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was.
So the whole thing just had this dreamlike quality to it that was so surreal.
Wow. I had a very similar experience when I went down to Suwannee in Florida. And there was a moment.
Oh,
it
yeah.
was just before he came on stage. And I don't know, my brain broke. And it was like, this is so fucking weird. I was in Florida with strangers waiting to see Keller. Like, it was almost too overwhelming to process. And I immediately was like, I'm just in a dreamlike state here. I'm not really awake. So yeah, I've had that same moment. It's surreal, trippy almost. It's like, oh, I'm glad someone else has experienced it too.
Yeah. It's like, no, this is just a dream. This is, mm-hmm. this is just something I'm imagining. This can't possibly be real.
Yeah. Yeah. It's trippy. But you enjoyed the show? I mean, after that bizarre dreamlike moment, you enjoyed the show then?
Oh, it was fantastic. Like I said, I was right up on the rail, right in the center and everything. And then not only that, for the first half, it was just him, which mm-hmm. I actually got that set list, which was amazing.
Oh, you got the set list.
Yeah, it was great. And not only that, immediately after, the Keels came up with him for the second half of the show.
Damn.
Yeah, it was such a whole thing.
Whew, that sounds damn right perfect. Like the perfect first Keller experience. You just summed it up right there.
Hard to top.
Yeah. Holy crap. Well, do you have plans for trying to top it in the future?
It depends on how close he comes to the area. I mean, obviously, you know, if I can get to another show, that's definitely the plan. What I'm really hoping for is, you know, pre-COVID, he was going to show in my city, and then that show got canceled.
Oh, that's right. So yeah, you talked about that.
he's due to come back to the city. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, he was supposed to play in Pittsburgh like the week after COVID hit, because I was debating. I'm like, I might get a ticket. I don't know. I'll see where this is going. And it was one of the first shows he canceled, and he rescheduled it. Actually, it was last week. And I was going trick-or-treating with the kids instead of going to see Keller. I was doing my responsible mom thing, but he did finally reschedule it, because I kept thinking that too. I'm like, I wonder when he's going back to Pittsburgh, because he'd promised to do it. And, you know, it was kind of at the last minute he canceled. It was like March 21st or something like that. So yeah, he's pretty good at picking back up where he left off, I thought. So maybe you're on the path.
We shall see.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. So since that's your first experience, I think I know the answer, but have you ever met Keller in person?
That was the closest I had been. Yeah, no. There wasn't like an opportunity to meet and greet at that particular show. I mean, it was a pretty big venue. There were a lot of people there. There wasn't really a backstage because it's a cave.
Backstage is just the wall.
Yeah, pretty much. Outside, that's nature's backstage.
There you go. That's what it is. Did you get a chance to meet Lou at least?
Lou did come by.
Oh, that's good. So at least, you know, you start with Lou and work your way up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lou's pretty awesome. And that's cool that you got the set list.
Right.
Yeah. So as we go back to this sense of normality with concerts and stuff, what do you see for your future of going to see Keller? I know you kind of mentioned already that depending on how close he gets, but like, are you going to expand that bubble, that radius of where he might get close to?
Definitely going to try to, because a lot of the concerts that I would go to were all local concerts because, like I said, there's so many venues in my city. There's so many weird little acts that I could just pick up that I never really did have to travel far. And then, it just never came up. It's like, yeah, sure, I could go 2 hours to this one venue to see this bigger act, or I could see who this person is playing in the shed I've been in before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the whole caverns thing, because it was a little bit of a drive. I definitely was the closest to it of everybody, but it was still a little bit of a drive. I think it's expanded my radius of where I'm willing to go to shows.
Mm-hmm. How far of a drive was it for you?
About 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's about the distance for me to Pittsburgh. It's like 2 hours. It's not too bad. It's like it makes for a long evening if you just go out and back, but you know, if you spend the night somewhere, it's not so bad. And your wife actually went with you, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That was her first Keller show, too?
Yeah. You know, she's not, like, the biggest Keller fan. She's very specific with her taste in music.
Okay. We forgive her.
Right. So I kind of sold it to her on the idea that, well, you know, we go up there Friday, come home Sunday. We'll just, it'd be like a little 3-day weekend vacation, you know, and maybe there'll be some live music and a bunch of people I've met online. And she's like, sure, whatever. I'll take off work. I just want the 3-day vacation.
Oh,
she wound up having a good time and making friends. And so that was good.
Oh, I love it. That's so cute. I wish I would have gotten a chance to meet you guys. So maybe next year for the caverns. It'll happen.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So that's all the question I have for you, good sir. Is there anything, any other Keller stories or thoughts that you'd like to share with the group?
Sadly, my Keller stories are fairly considering for now. My first live show was, you know, this past year.
I think it's awesome, though. I like that, like, you have a history with his music, but it's still new in the respect of going to see him live. Because, you know, for me, that was when my respect for his music changed and really deepened when I started seeing him live. And it's like, you've been kind of carrying through all this time and now you get to change that experience. Like you get to have that moment now. And I think it's great that you've got this strange little audience of people online watching you enjoy this new transition. I'm very excited to be a part of this, I guess.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so weird seeing him live. Just even on the stage it shows, it was weird seeing him live the first couple of times because I had no idea he was playing everything and just looping it sort of.
You didn't realize how amazing he is. Oh my God.
I just thought it was one of those situations where a guy would say for an album, maybe he could record different tracks mm-hmm. and mix them. And then yeah. live, he just come with a band and he just like plays guitar and sings or something. I didn't realize he was playing literally everything.
I adore that. Oh my God. That's so cool. So The Cellar really changed your concept of his music.
Right. He does all this on the fly.
Yeah, it's unreal. That's really cool. Oh my God. I think that's a really great place to end the podcast, actually.
Sounds great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking time to chat with me today. And
thanks for having me.
That's it. All right. Well, you have a good night, good sir. And I'm glad that we filled up almost an hour of chat time.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. You did good. Even though I didn't think you were 100% on board, I'm glad we did this. This was nice.
That was you. You did great.
I told you I'm a natural with this. All right. I'm going to turn off speaker go-go here and go snuggle up in some pajamas and get comfy. All right. So I will talk to you later.
All right. Later.
Bye. All righty. So for today's Random Keller Jam, I was inspired by my conversation with Jalvin. I was looking for those Mr. Bitterness quotes so I could put them, like put little blurbs in there in the episode. And I totally got lost in the one version, the first time he played it in The Cellar on August 17th, 2020. I got lost in that song and I just, oh my God, it's such a jam. And I thought, you know what? I don't normally do Cellar shows for my Random Keller Jam, but this is a good one. This is really great. So thank you, Jalvin, for bringing up the inspiration for this. So yeah, this is Mr. Bitterness. This is Keller's version of the Soul Coughing song. It's from August 17th, 2020. All right, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna go-go. I think I'm gonna stick with that. I'm gonna go-go. Peace, love, and K-Dub.
Bitter sea, she sits there and drinks a velvet crush. That's Kool-Aid and gin. Casing the clientele like a relentless cameraman, she is elsewhere. What your big sister does. Spiral down, 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 down. Spiral down. Desire looks like you with an oozing eye. desires like a grass fire. Desire mowed down by standards and drive-by. She said, open up your mind, man, let me jump inside. Spiral down, 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 down. Spiral down, down. Out dancing like a madman when y'all are gone. I'll spit the blue flame and hurl my glass up against the wall. Hear your name called out from the boombox. Hear your name called out from the passing cars. Hear your name called out from the boombox. Hear your name called out from the passing cars. Hear your name called out from the your name called out from the passing cars, from the boom box, the passing cars. She's cracking now, now the calm is to bitterness. She's snapping now, now the calm is to bitterness. She comes under. She comes.